You have the ability to accomplish amazing things, and it all starts with your belief. Forget all the reasons it won't work and believe the one reason it will. What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly, but for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Hey, Mahara, this is Carrie Moore from Arkansas.
Hey, Carrie Moore, good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Lionel from Detroit, Michigan.
Hello,
wishing everybody
Lionel,
good day.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hello, from Arkansas, Mahara. It's Monday, and it's a beautiful day.
Hey, Elliot, good morning. Great to hear your voice, man.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Siobhan from New York. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
Good morning. This is Bob from West Palm Beach, Florida.
Hey, Bob Allman. Welcome to the call, my friend.
Morning, sir.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Charity from Bronx, New York. How you doing this marvelous Monday?
Hey, Charity. I'm doing great on Marvelous Monday. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Good morning to the marvelous Mahara, Elizabeth from Virginia.
Elegant Elizabeth from Virginia. We are so glad you're here, my friend. What's going on?
All right. Beautiful day.
Good morning, this is Jorge from Poolsville, Maryland.
Good morning, how are you doing? Welcome to the call. Whoever's
good
got
the morning.
Tell me to press first.
Morning, Kathy Early from Idaho. Happy day.
Hey, Kathy Early, welcome to the call.
Good morning,
Think and Grow Rich family. This is Amy in Las Vegas. Hey, Eggless.
Hey, Amy.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Mahara. From Richard Moore from Arkansas.
Hey, Richard Moore. Good morning.
Morning, Carrie.
Morning,
Jesus, Florida.
Our rich family, Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Good morning, Larry and Wendy. And did I hear Steve Quick?
Yes, you did.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Wendy. Hey, Larry. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you.
Is Jim here?
Talk to me, Think and Grow Richian. Tell me your name and where you're calling
from. Good morning, Mahara. Andre from Jacksonville.
Hey, Andre. What's happening this morning?
Oh, enjoy this nice, cool morning down here in Dayville. How about yourself?
It's absolutely gorgeous. Welcome to the call.
Good morning. Rick from California.
You wanted me out there, but I don't know.
Mr. Rick Martin, we are glad to have you on the call, and welcome.
Sure.
Good morning.
Oh, we're starting a meeting right now?
Minnesota.
Okay.
Hey,
I'll talk to him later then. He's not out there
Good morning, Mahara. Good morning, family. Joe Dollar.
Hey, Joe Dollar. Welcome to the call.
Hey, good morning. This is Paul. Who else is on the line?
Josh Bayless from Kansas.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, family. It's Bill Moyes from South Lake, Texas.
Hey, Bill Moyes.
Monday, November 23rd, 2015. We're in 2015 already. Can you guys believe it? Man, the time sure seems to be rolling along. We're on the Think and Grow Rich call this morning. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho. Excited to be on the phone with each of you amazing, passionate, serious, minded entrepreneurs who are dedicated to getting the most out of life. Like, if you could imagine life as an orange, we're like doing the best we can to squeeze every drop out of that orange so that we can savor it and drink it up and treasure it all throughout our minds, hearts, and souls. And I think that's what we're doing on this call. You know, we come together every day, people who are engaged in entrepreneurship ventures all throughout the world, and we dedicate a little bit of time at the first of every weekday morning to study the laws of success, to study the principles that have been laid down by people who have gone before and done things like made it their life work to extract these laws and organize them and put them into easy-to-digest format so that we can just, like partake of them, so that we can just, like, have them right before us. It's like we're sitting at this beautiful banquet table that's just filled with all of the best nutritious food that you could imagine, and all we have to do is we just have to pull up a chair and partake of what's been laid before us. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I'm also grateful that we've got lots of people on this call who are serious about doing that and who have made a decision that their life is important, their dreams are important, their future is important, their freedom is important, and they've decided to get up every day and fight for that and go for that and learn what they need to learn and fall down and get up again for however many times it takes. I have a friend, a team member, who made a post this last week who was just talking about how, you know, entrepreneurs, they get more inspired when they fall down. If they fall down, they get re-inspired. They get reignited. Their flame burns brighter to go out there and figure out what they need to figure out, to go out there and learn what they need to learn. In fact, my friend, he said entrepreneurs, they never think about quitting, because he said to an entrepreneur, quitting is suicide. And they think about quitting as much as, you know, they think about taking their own life, which is never. They never think about quitting, because they know that their dreams are important, their life is important, and quitting is just not an option. We get up every day and we keep moving forward. And, you know, this call, guys and gals, is filled with people like that. And it just seems that when we get around other people that have that mindset, that have that dedication, that have that commitment, that have that level of seriousness about dreams and goals and freedom and making an impact in the world, when we get around people like that, it's literally like our fire burns brighter. It's sort of like, you know, if you light one stick on fire, it has a certain level of heat and a certain level of brightness, but then you put 5, 10 sticks together, you throw some logs on that fire, you put more kindling on that fire, what happens? Well, eventually you got this massive bonfire that's just burning with more heat and more height and more energy than ever could have gotten there with one stick alone. And that's what I think about when I think about what we do on this call. We are entrepreneurial pieces of wood, sticks. And every morning we put our sticks together so that we can feed off each other and so that we can burn brighter and brighter and brighter. And I just think that's an awesome thing to be a part of. And I'll tell you what, I come away from this call the vast majority of the time, just like our call on Friday. I came away from our call on Friday more inspired than I was when I got on the call. I came away just like with this energy inside of me and this excitement and this passion and this enthusiasm to where Friday I was ready to go for my day. I was ready to embrace it. I was ready to get things done that needed to be done. And I attribute that to being on this call. So my hope, my goal, my vision this morning for myself and for each of you on the line is that we will open our minds and be prepared to receive that fire, that heat, that energy, that influence from other like-minded, powerful, influence.
influential, powerful people who are stepping forward into the world will receive that, and we will come away from this call today with some new breakthroughs, some new ideas, some new insight, and some new fire to go forth and step into our destiny, okay? So, guys, I'm excited about that. I want to know if you're excited about that. I want to know if, are you ready? Like Jim Rohn used to ask his audience, you know, when he'd start a speech, he'd say, are you ready? If you're ready, I want to hear you tell me you're ready. I want to hear you express your excitement and enthusiasm into the line as I unmute the phones. Are you ready? Right now. You guys are awesome for that. Thank you so much. Okay, first off, we're going to go through our definite purpose self-confidence formula, and then we'll get into our study for the day. Star 6, who has that ready for us this morning?
Hello, Richard. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Who is that?
This is Richard. Ferris.
Richard, brother. So good to hear you, man.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Glad
so
you're
excited
here.
To be here. Thank you. I'm ready here. Are we ready?
We're ready. Let's do it.
Self-confidence formula. My major definite purpose. First, by the first day of, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and best possible quality of service in the capacity of, I believe that I will have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and the proportion that I deliver the service and I intend to render it for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in an outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion and desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression to some practical means of attaining that object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards other can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it out loud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions, that I will become a self-reliant and successful person.
Woo!
Amen.
Richard, hey man, you're so awesome. I want you to know that I believe in you on a deep level. I know you've got greatness within you. I know you can achieve the object of your definite purpose in life. And I want to know, guys, hold on. Do you believe in Richard? And if you do, let's let him know as I unmute the lines real quick. Okay, guys, so I got to tell you something real quick that popped into my brain as Richard was going through that, and we were all going through that together. You know, way back in, like, 2010 or so, you know, when I first started discovering these principles and these laws, I was having this effect happen in my life where I would go out and I would proclaim what Richard just, you know, led us through. And I was doing it by myself every morning and every night, and I started to have this, just this faith come over me, and I had this idea pop into my brain, and the idea was, what if I could somehow influence or inspire my team to be doing something like this in their own lives on a daily basis? And I had this in my imagination. I saw in my mind, I saw, you know, hundreds and even thousands of people all over the world every day doing the thing that I was doing, that Dr. Napoleon Hill had taught me how to do. And I saw people all over the world in my mind building this faith in themselves and increasing their confidence and just having this unstoppable fire begin to grow inside themselves from something that they were taking initiative to do on their own. And so I just had this idea in my mind, what if I could somehow induce people to do this? And so here we are in 2015, and it just hit me that we've got hundreds of people now, and maybe even thousands if you count the people that dial into the replay, and especially if you count the people who have been on here over the years, who are doing just that. And I was just inspired to share that thought with you because, my friends, we do have power inside of us. We do have the ability to see something in our mind, and through persistence and determination and through growth, we have the ability to bring that reality into reality, to bring that idea, to bring that vision into reality. I was listening to this little audio that one of my friends, Sean Ali, made for me. It was like this, it's this little meditation. He's a sound engineer, and he made this little meditation, and he kind of like walks you through this process of imagining your best self, imagining, you know, your super doppelganger. If you guys have been on the call for a while, we had a call a couple years ago about the super doppelganger, where you imagine your best self. And in any case, one of the things that he said in this meditation is he said something to the effect of, if you can see it in your imagination, it is. If you can see it in your imagination, it is. Implying that if you can see it in your imagination, it is real. It is something that can exist. Maybe it's something that does exist. If it's in your imagination, maybe that's the first process of bringing it in to reality. So anyway, I just had that little example this morning as I was listening to Richard and realizing that now we've got hundreds of people on this call who every day go through that exercise, hopefully, and every day are building strength, confidence, power in themselves through that exercise. That's inspiring to me. So with that, guys, let's go ahead and jump into our study. We're studying the Law of Success, 1925 version, written by Dr. Napoleon Hill after his 25-year research that he did. And you can grab this, if you're new to our call, you can grab this free ebook on our website at growrichaudios.com. We are in page 44 of 1170. And we're still in the introduction, which is a little bit over 100 pages, where he's kind of given us this backdrop of ideas that he wants us to have before we get into the 15 laws. And he's just got done talking to us about vibration and his theory that at a certain vibration level, way up high, his theory is that maybe that's where thoughts operate, and that thoughts maybe can be transmitted from one mind to another. So we're on page 44, and Dr. Hill writes, "We may indulge in some speculations based on what we know of the wireless waves, which, as I have said, are all we can recognize of a vast series of vibrations which theoretically must exist If the thought waves are similar to the wireless waves, they must pass from the brain and flow endlessly around the world and the universe. The body and the skull and other solid obstacles would form no obstruction to their passage. As they pass through the ether which surrounds the molecules of every substance, no matter how solid and dense. You ask if there would not be constant interference and confusion if other people's thoughts were flowing through our brains and setting up thoughts in them that did not originate with ourselves. How do you know that other men's thoughts are not interfering with yours now? I have noticed a good many phenomena of mind disturbances that I have never been able to explain. For instance, there is the inspiration or the discouragement that a speaker feels in addressing an audience. I have experienced this many times in my life, and I have never been able to define exactly the physical causes of it. Many recent scientific discoveries, in my opinion, point to a day not far distant, perhaps, when men will read one another's thoughts, when thoughts will be conveyed directly from brain to brain without intervention of speech, writing, or any of the present known methods of communication. It is not unreasonable to look forward to a time when we shall see without eyes, hear without ears, and talk without tongues. Briefly, the hypothesis that the mind can communicate directly with mind rests on the theory that thought or vital force is a form of electrical disturbance, that it can be taken up by induction and transmitted to a distance either through a wire or simply through the all-pervading ether, as in the case of wireless telegraph waves. There are many analogies which suggest that thought is of the nature of an electrical disturbance. A nerve, which is of the same substance as the brain, is an excellent conductor of the electric current. When we first passed an electrical current through the nerves of a dead man, we were shocked and amazed to see him sit up and move. The electrified nerves produced contraction of the muscles very much as in life. The nerves appear to act upon the muscles very much as the electric current acts upon an electromagnet. The current magnetizes a bar of iron placed at right angles to it, and the nerve produces, through the intangible current of vital force that flows through them, contraction of the muscular fibers that are arranged at right angles to them. It would be possible to cite many reasons why thought and vital force may be regarded as of the same nature as electricity. The electric current is held to be a wave motion of the ether, the hypothetical substance that fills all space and pervades all substances. We believe that there must be ether because without it, the electric current could not pass through a vacuum or sunlight through space. It is reasonable to believe that only a wave motion of a similar character can produce the phenomena of thought and vital force. We may assume that the brain cells act as a battery and that the current produced flows along the nerves. But does it end there? Does it not pass out of the body in waves which flow around the world unperceived by our senses, just as the wireless waves passed unperceived before Hertz and others discovered their existence? Every mind, both a broadcasting and a receiving station. This author has proved, times too numerous to enumerate, to his own satisfaction at least, that every human brain is both a broadcasting and a receiving station for vibrations of thought frequency. If this theory should turn out to be a fact, and methods of reasonable control should be established, imagine the part it would play in the gathering, classifying, and organizing of knowledge. The possibility, much less the probability, of such reality staggers the mind of man. Thomas Paine was one of the great minds of the American Revolutionary period. To him, more, perhaps, than to any other one person, we owe both the beginning and the happy ending of the Revolution. For it was his keen mind that both helped in drawing up the Declaration of Independence and in persuading the signers of that document to translate it into terms of reality. In speaking of the great source of his great storehouse of knowledge, Paine thus described it, quote, Any person who has made observations on the state of progress of the human mind by observing his own cannot but have observed that there are two distinct classes of what are called thoughts. Those that we produce in ourselves by reflection and the act of thinking, and those that bolt into the mind of their own accord. I have always made it a rule to treat these voluntary visitors with civility, taking care to examine, as well as I was able, if they were worth entertaining. And it is from them I have acquired almost all the knowledge that I have. As to the learning that any person gains from school education, it serves only like a small capital to put him in the way of beginning learning for himself afterwards. Every person of learning is finally his own teacher, the reason for which is that principles cannot be impressed upon the memory. Their place of mental residence is the understanding, and they are never so lasting as when they begin by conception. And there's a quote here on the preceding page. It says, every failure is a blessing in disguise, providing it teaches some needed lesson one could not have learned without it. Most so-called failures are only temporary defeats. Continuing on. In the foregoing words, Paine, the great American patriot and philosopher, described an experience which at one time or another is the experience of every person. Who is there so unfortunate as not to have received positive evidence that thoughts and even complete ideas will pop into the mind from outside sources? What means of conveyance is there for such visitors except the ether? Ether fills the boundless space of the universe. It is the medium of conveyance for all known forms of vibration such as sound, light, and heat. Why should it not be also the medium of conveyance of the vibration of thought? Every mind or brain is directly connected with every other brain by means of the ether. Every thought released by any brain may be instantly picked up and interpreted by all other brains that are in rapport with the sending brain. This author is as sure of this fact as he is that the chemical formula H2O will produce water. Imagine, if you can, what a part this principle plays in every walk of life. Nor is the probability of ether being a conveyor of thought from mind to mind the most astounding of its performances. It is the belief of this author that every thought vibration released by any brain is picked up by the ether and kept in motion in circuitous wavelengths corresponding in length to the intensity of the energy used in their release. That these vibrations remain in motion forever, that they are one of the two sources from which thoughts which pop into one's mind emanate, the other source being direct and immediate contact to the ether with the brain releasing the thought vibration. Thus it will be seen that if this theory is a fact, the boundless space of the whole universe is now and will continue to become literally a mental library wherein may be found all the thoughts released by mankind. The author is here laying the foundation for one of the most important hypotheses enumerated in the lesson Self-Confidence, a fact which the student should keep in mind as he approaches that lesson. This is a lesson on organized knowledge. Most of the useful knowledge to which the human race has become heir has been preserved and accurately recorded in nature's Bible. By turning back the pages of this unalterable Bible, man has read the story of the terrific struggle through and out of which the present civilization has grown. The pages of this Bible are made up of the physical elements of which this earth and the other planets consist, and of the ether which fills all space. By turning back the pages written on stone and covered near the surface of this earth on which he lives, man has uncovered the bones, skeletons, footprints, and other unmistakable evidence of the history of animal life on this earth, planted there for his enlightenment and guidance by the hand of Mother Nature throughout unbelievable periods of time. The evidence is plain and unmistakable. The great stone pages of nature's Bible found on this earth and the endless pages of that Bible represented by the ether wherein all past human thought has been recorded constitute an authentic source of communication between the Creator and man. This Bible was begun before man had reached the thinking stage, indeed before man had reached the amoeba, one-cell animal stage of development. This Bible is above and beyond the power of man to alter. Moreover, it tells its story not in the ancient dead languages or hieroglyphics of half-savage races, but in universal language which all who have eyes may read. Nature's Bible, from which we have derived all the knowledge that is worth knowing, is one that no man may alter or in any manner tamper with. The most marvelous discovery yet made by man is that of the recently discovered radio principle, which operates through the aid of ether, an important portion of nature's Bible. Imagine the ether picking up the ordinary vibration of sound and transforming that vibration from audio frequency into radio frequency, carrying it to a properly attuned receiving station, and there transforming it back into its original form of audio frequency, all in the flash of a second. It should surprise no one that such a force could gather up the vibration of thought and keep that vibration in motion forever. The established and known fact of instantaneous transmission of sound through the agency of the ether by means of the modern radio apparatus removes the theory of transmission of thought vibration from one mind to mind, from the possible to the probable. The mastermind. We come now to the next step in the description of the ways and means by which one may gather, classify, and organize useful knowledge through harmonious alliance of two or more minds, out of which grows a mastermind. The term mastermind is abstract and has no counterpart in the field of known facts, except to a small number of people who have made a careful study of the effect of one mind upon the other minds. This author has searched in vain through all the textbooks and essays available on the subject of the human mind, but nowhere has been found even the slightest reference to the principle here described as the mastermind. The term first came to the attention of the author through an interview with Andrew Carnegie in the manner described in Lesson 2, Chemistry of the Mind. It is this author's belief that the mind is made up of the same universal fluid energy as that which constitutes the ether which fills the universe. It is a fact as well known to the layman as to the man of scientific investigation that some minds clash the moment they come in contact with each other, while other minds show a natural affinity for each other. Between the two extremes of natural antagonism and natural affinity growing out of the meeting or contacting of minds, there is a wide range of possibility for varying reactions of mind upon mind. Some minds are so naturally adapted to each other that love at first sight is the inevitable outcome of the contact. Who has not known of such an experience? In other cases, minds are so antagonistic that violent mutual dislike shows itself at first meeting. These results occur without a word being spoken and without the slightest signs of any of the usual causes for love and hate acting as a stimulus. It is quite probable that the mind is made up of a fluid or substance or energy, call it what you will, similar to, if not in fact the same substance as, the ether. When two minds come close enough to each other to form a contact, the mixing of the units of this mind stuff, let us call it the electrons of the ether, sets up a chemical reaction and starts vibrations which affect the two individuals pleasantly or unpleasantly. The effect of the meeting of two minds is obvious to even the most casual observer. Every effect must have a cause. What could be more reasonable than to suspect that the cause of the change in mental attitude between two minds which have just come in close contact is none other than the disturbance of the electrons or units of each mind in the process of rearranging themselves in the new field created by the contact? And there's a quote here, to believe in the heroic makes heroes. I'm going to read one more paragraph. For the purpose of establishing this lesson upon a sound foundation, we have gone a long way towards success by admitting that the meeting or coming in close contact of two minds sets up in each of those minds a certain noticeable effect or state of mind quite different from the one existing immediately prior to the contact. While it is desirable, it is not essential to know what is the cause of this reaction of mind upon mind. That the reaction takes place in every instance is a known fact, which gives us a starting point from which we may show what is meant by the term mastermind. Okay, that's a great place for us to pause, my friends. And I think it's interesting that we kind of came full circle from one of the comments that I made in the introduction of the call today where I talked about the effect that this call had on me Friday, right? Where I said I got on this call Friday and I got off and I was affected. I was different. I had a different energy about me. My mind had changed, right, from where it was when I first got on the call. And isn't that fascinating that Dr. Hill just tells us that the close contact of two minds sets up in each other, sets up in each of those minds a certain noticeable effect or state of mind quite different from the one existing immediately prior to the contact, right? So this is good stuff we're studying, and I think the implications and the conclusions and the life-changing ideas we can draw from this are really quite numerous. And so we're going to get into, like, you know, what stuck out to you as we went through this reading today? And if this stuff is true, you know, what conclusions can we draw? You know, Maxwell Maltz in Psycho-Cybernetics talks about the universal storehouse of the ether, how there's this great library existing, just like Dr. Napoleon Hill just got done teaching us, right? Dr. Hill wrote this in 1925. Maxwell Maltz wrote his book in the 60s. And I don't know if Maxwell Maltz was a student of Dr. Napoleon Hill. I have no reason to believe that he was, because I didn't see him mention Dr. Hill in any of his works that I've read that Maxwell Maltz wrote. And so if he wasn't a student of Dr. Napoleon Hill, isn't it interesting that he somehow came to the same conclusion that there is a universal storehouse of the ether? It's just interesting, isn't it? And then the last thing I want to touch on before I open up the lines is this point that Dr. Hill makes where he says, who is so unfortunate? He was quoting Thomas Paine and how Thomas Paine talked about how, you know, we have this ability to get ideas that are outside of ourselves. And he said, and Dr. Hill said, who is so unfortunate as to not have this experience where an idea flashes into your mind that seems to be outside of yourself? And when he was talking about this, I actually last week, I can remember the last time this happened to me. It was just a few days ago. I was at home watching my 4-year-old son, Cashton. My wife was volunteering at the school, and we were just hanging out together, and all of a sudden, I had this thing pop into my brain. It was like a partial thought, and I was like, I got to sit down and finish the transmission. I got to sit down and finish, like, what else is there? And I wrote down a quote that I'll share with you guys. This quote says, a great quote, it's a quote about quotes, and it says, a great quote is like a Polaroid of life essence snatched from the infinite storehouse of truth, frozen in time and put on display for a brief moment of mind joy and savoring in the soul. I don't know if you guys have ever had that experience where you read like a quote or a piece of literature and you're just like, oh, you've got this moment, right? This moment happens where you're just like, Here is a Polaroid of life essence, snatched from the infinite storehouse of truth, frozen in time and put on display for a brief moment of mind joy and savoring in the soul. Well, anyway, the reason I share this is because this quote, I don't know where it came from. Like, literally, I was just hanging out with my son, and just out of the blue, this idea flashed into my mind, and I sat down, and I pulled up my computer, and I finished out the thought, and I don't know where it came from, but it sure seems like this was an example of something flashing into my mind. Now, if this is true, if we can get ideas from outside of ourselves, and if we attract to us minds which harmonize with us, how important is it that we continue to work on the thoughts and the energy and the state at which we are vibrating so we can attract the right thoughts and the right energies and the right people and the right circumstances? So in any case, guys, those are some of my thoughts. I'm excited to hear yours. I'm excited to be stimulated by what's going on in your brain as we open up the mastermind portion of the call. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are a part of our community here, and brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. One moment, please. Star 6, who's first? Anything stick out to you? What thoughts came to you as we were going through this study? Would love to hear what's on your mind. Star 6, come on out.
My name is Thelma.
Hi, Thelma. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. Good morning, thank you, and great family. Real quick, the one thing that I think stood out for me while you were reading towards the end, talking about the mastermind principle, and right about the time you got to the part where you said the author has searched in vain through all the textbooks and essays available on the subject of human mind, but nowhere has been found even the slightest reference to the principle here described in the mastermind. A thought just flashed to my head when you read that part, and I was like, actually something close to this was referenced in the Bible. You know, when Christ was teaching and he said, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. It almost seems like, you know, even further down he said, for where two or three gather as my followers, I'm there amongst them. It almost kind of felt like the mastermind principle in practice in that particular verse of the Bible. So it just, you know, that thought just flashed through my head. And, you know, as we learn about the mastermind principle, there's been many times when I guess for me, most times, because I try to be very practical about, you know, my beliefs as a Christian, you know, and if I'm reading something in the Bible and I see something in real life that kind of relates to that concept, I latch onto it and try to reason out the comparison. Kind of like when Napoleon Hill talked about everybody is born with two envelopes, one with titled riches and the other one titled lack, and describe the different things that fall under each of those envelopes, and depending on which one we decide to open and apply to life. You know, when I first heard that principle from Napoleon Hill, again, my thoughts went to the original creation of the, you know, when God created Adam and Eve and said, eat of the tree of life and not of the tree of death. And, you know, they went ahead and ate from the tree of death. The analogy in my head, there just seems like an analogy between that envelope of riches and envelope of lack with the tree of life. Because if all we knew was the tree of life, if all we knew was what was contained in the envelope of riches, there will be no fear of death. There will be no fear of lack. So that thought just kind of flashed through my mind, and I thought I should share that with everybody. Thank you.
Great thoughts, Thelma. Appreciate that. And, you know, it's interesting that in that first part of the Old Testament, it says, of all the trees, you may freely eat. And I read that a few days ago. It's funny you bring that up. And I thought about the tree of life, and I thought about freely eating of the tree of life, freely eating of all the good stuff. Anyway, that came to mind as you were talking. Thank you. Great thoughts, Thelma. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hi, Paul. TJ from Virginia.
Hey, TJ. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How are you guys today?
We're all doing great, I think.
I just wanted to share about the ether. I know on Friday we talked about the ether in here again today is more, you know, talk about it and just my experience with it. It's so funny how Napoleon Hill references, you know, the fluid matter of the brain and how it can send out signals, you know, like messages, like the same way we receive, you know, cellular messages now. And then back then, I guess, you know, the newest thing, the latest thing was audio. So I just have been able to experience that, and it's so interesting that just the other day I was talking to my son about my sister and just saying, I meant to call her, you know, she's on my mind, and then the next thing I know, she sends a text, you know, or if I'm thinking about my mom or something, and then the next thing I know, she's calling me. And so it's just interesting to have experienced that and then to see that, you know, there is a principle, and then how that same concept can be expounded upon, like you were saying, as far as continuing to grow your mind and continuing to work on your thoughts to have correct thoughts so that you can attract those people who are in rapport. And I think, like, the times that I've had the responses, you know, from the people I know who I think about and then they call me, or who I think about and then I see them, or when I see them, they're like, I was just thinking about you. And, you know, like, our minds are in rapport, but you can even develop that in rapport to another level where you can attract, you know, people who you're interested in with for business or, you know, for love or whatever it may be that, you know, you're seeking. Just you have to have that mind that's in rapport with someone else's. And so that's just really what I wanted to share today.
Awesome thoughts, Thelma. Appreciate you so much coming out and sharing your experience with us. That really helps a lot, I think, to understand what we're studying here. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
This is Jorge.
Hi, Jorge. Good morning.
Good morning. Continuing on the mastermind, that's exactly the kind of experience that, for example, I have with my wife. You know, we are in the same frequency that we read each other's mind. And did I tell you that? I don't know. Or you even she asked me to do a prayer, you know, and then I'm praying just for the meal, you know, and then something tells me to pray for my wife, and then it goes details things. And then she, at the end, 2 hours after, she said, how do you know that those are the issues that I'm dealing with? I don't know. It just comes to you. It's being in the same mindset. It's precisely the mindset, the mastermind. I just wanted to share that experience, that it happens all of the time, but people are in the same level of harmony. That's all.
I love it. Thank you, Jorge, for sharing that. It's fascinating, isn't it? Appreciate that.
Bill Moist?
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, family. I love this discussion of the ether. When we first started talking about it, I thought it was kind of spooky, you know, but you know, I realized I've been experiencing that for years. And I heard something recently that really resonated with my experience. And what it was, you know, how do you hear the voice of God? You know, some people think you can't hear the voice of God. Some people think that he can hear him all the time. I believe he's talking all the time. And that's what we call the ether. And when you tap into it, you hear things that you wouldn't know otherwise. So I want to use you as an example, Paul. You know, you told me as many times that you sat down and prayed when you were at a really desperate spot in your financial life, and you felt inspired to study Think and Grow Rich. And I think we can all look at that and say, based on what's happening today on this call and all the people that are being touched, that you heard the voice of God, but it was inspiration. So how do you hear the voice of God? Well, this was suggested. It says, delight your hearts in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So how do we hear God's voice? Well, a lot of times they're just desires of our heart. And so all of a sudden something wells up in us and we do something that we might not ordinarily do, but it's something we want to do. I think that's the way I think the Old Testament was do this, don't do that. But I think the modern way is we're changed from the inside out. So I had a little experience. This was several weeks ago. I used to, a couple months ago. I was at a real estate meeting, and I noticed this lady coming up who was older, who looked kind of disheveled. And I just felt this. I just had this sense that pay attention to that lady. And eventually, I realized, or I felt like she probably had Alzheimer's. You know, she had this big grin on her face, which that's an example. Sometimes that, you know, when they don't have any bad memories. So, as we were leaving, I kind of followed her car, and I noticed her car was full of junk. And I said, "Ma'am, may I buy you a lunch today?" She said, "Oh," she said, "I don't eat organic." So I gave her some money, and so, you know, am I so great? No, I just heard that voice to pay attention to that lady. So I'm pretty convinced that we all have things today that we feel like we're supposed to pay attention to something. So I just encourage you all to pay attention to that voice inside. So great discussion today. Back to you all. You all have a wonderful week.
Love it, Bill. Appreciate you so much. Thanks for sharing that. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Pass Simpson.
I heard someone right ahead of Pass. Was that Chris?
That's it. That is. Hi, how are you doing
today? Good morning, Chris. Good, how are you?
Good morning. Excellent, thank you. Yeah, that was a great reading, and we're receiving a lot of knowledge. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And everyone's input. I was thinking about Thoreau the other day because he was so wordy. I almost wanted to say something about it. He has a way of just extending himself. He's a great writer. And then today I was sometimes I nitpick a little, and I don't want to, and I keep a positive mind. I was just noticing something about the ether and the liquid. And I think inside our heads is probably a liquid substance, but it doesn't seem to me like the air is liquid, but I guess oxygen is partly liquid, so I don't know. Just some of my thoughts. Anyway, I just wanted to contribute, and thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for contributing, Chris. Appreciate you coming out and sharing with us.
Thank you.
Pass. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Paul, how are you today?
Fantastic. How are you, sir?
Oh, man, back to being me. Blessed and highly favored. I was sitting there listening to the mastermind and people also talking about listening to God. I talk about that a lot. I always say prayer is how we talk to God, and meditation is how we listen. I always encourage people to spend at least 30 minutes a day in meditation, not only to slow down your heart rate and everything else, but to truly being able to listen, you know, to infinite intelligence, to listen to God. So a lot of the greatest things that I've been able to accomplish over the last few years have come from meditation. My company's code of ethics, everything else that we actually live by has come from us, you know, really being in a place where we can listen to what infinite intelligence is saying, what God is saying. So I encourage everyone here, you know, to join us on this 30 squared movement, 30 minutes of positive reading, 30 minutes of meditation, 30 minutes of exercise, and 30 minutes of a positive audio every single day, and watch how your life changes. I love you guys. Have a great day.
Always a pleasure hearing from you, Pass. Thank you, sir.
Jesse from New York.
Hey, Jesse, take it away.
Well, I'm loving this topic. At first, I wasn't sure if I really had something that stood out, and of course, as always, something does pop out. And the first thing that came to my mind was this little quote that you read about failure and to be grateful for your failures. And I remember I was in technologies, and we would go out and troubleshoot the software, installations of software, and sometimes they went smoothly, and sometimes they didn't, and they'd be new software, like they would call it alpha or beta software, and we'd have all these errors and all these problems. And what I found out then, and it is so true today, is that the times that I went in and that there were all these problems and they were sort of like failures, whether I had trouble doing what I needed to do or the software did, it taught me so much because I really got to delve into what made the software tick. I'd have to go into other files and search and research. And that's kind of what failures do for us. It brings to light that this isn't working, so what will? And that's all it is in a failure. So this didn't work, so what will? Excuse me. So that was one thing that jumped out at me. And the other was, you know, this feeling, this sense of knowing what is going to happen, or not so much what is going to happen, but we get this intuition in the ether where someone, we're thinking of someone, and don't you know, they call us, or vice versa, where we'll call them, and, oh, I was just thinking of you, happens to me, has happened to me over and over and over again, and I would think, gee, that is really bizarre. How did that happen? Wow, we must really have a tremendous connection. And yes, we do. That person and I, for whatever reason, were thinking of each other, and that energy caused us to finally connect, and it always felt a little supernatural, but it's just so exciting to know that is a possibility because it's happened to me over and over and over again. And the last thing I thought about that was I once saw someone, and what triggered this was what Bill was talking about, and it was a young man, and I looked at him, and I had this sensation I needed to talk to him. Now, I didn't. And what I wanted to say is that we need to also, when we have that feeling, it is like God talking to us. And there is something that we're supposed to do, be alert and be acute to that intuition and act on it, because I truly believe there is something we're supposed to do from that. And I think even now today, when I didn't act on that, what was I supposed to have done? What was that supposed to be about? And I'll take my own advice and be a little bit more conscientious of when that happens that I should act on it. And I think that's in everyday life and what we are striving for, that not only do we get this feeling and be connected, but act on it. I think that honors ourselves. That's nurturing ourselves. That's us listening to God. That's my thoughts, so thank you.
Great thoughts, Jesse. Couldn't agree more. Thank you for sharing that. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Amy in Vegas.
What's up, Amy?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, family. So the other day I was in my car, and I hope this makes sense, but I was in my car driving, and I love to sing, and I was thinking, I just had this thought flash into my mind where if I was singing, I'm just using singing as an example, okay, but if I was singing and if I was singing with, like, for God, you know, say I'm singing or whatever you're doing, you do it for God, and I felt like it brought this, like, what a mastermind that is. Like, God, okay, so if I'm singing for God, like, for some reason I feel like when I think that way that my voice comes out stronger and it comes out better and it's just, like, beautiful, you know? And so I feel like when I think that way, that means I have the backing of God. Like, that's a great mastermind between me and God. No matter what I do, if I do it for God, that it will be powerful, it will be awesome, it will be amazing, and it will touch somebody or, you know, whatever. I don't know if this makes sense. I had this, like, go through me the other day, and I was like, and I just thought, what a great mastermind to have somebody like God that's powerful and supporting me and telling me I can do it and giving me confidence. And then I feel like when that happens, God is flowing through me, kind of. It's this feeling that goes through me or something. I don't know, but anyway, I'm relating that kind of to the mastermind and how I think that's a really powerful mastermind. If you can have that relationship with God, it could be so powerful in every part of your life, I guess. So anyway, I just really wanted to share that, and I hope that that makes sense. And I love you guys, and I hope you have an awesome day.
Hey, Amy, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, another side thing to that is, you know, what if that is your intention? What kind of people will be probably attracted to you? Probably people with that same intention, right? So, I think that's a great thought, Amy. Thank you so much for sharing that. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Good morning. This is Nicole in Idaho.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Thank you. I think part of the reason it's hard to describe this experience is because it's not normal sense perception, the way we touch, smell, hear, and see. It's more intuitive. And one of the things that I like to relate the mastermind to is a quote that I heard from Jim Rohn. It's not a quote so much as a story. He talks about the ability of one oxen to pull, I can't remember the exact weight, but say one oxen is pulling the weight of 700 pounds of rocks. And then you add another oxen to the side by side and the two of them together. Well, if you double the amount of weight, they should be able to pull 1,400 pounds, 700 pounds each. But that is not the case. When you put the two oxen together, they more than double their capacity, their pulling weight ability. And so they can pull something like 1,800 pounds instead of 1,400 pounds. And it's the same with mastermind. You have a group of people like we have on this call. You have inspiration that fills your entire day, or you have people that you work with and you get along well and in a spirit of harmony, you make things happen and they happen in a bigger way than they would have happened if you had to do it by yourself. So I sure appreciate everybody. Have a blessed day. And Paul, I got a question for you. Are we going to meet on Thursday this week?
Great thoughts. And question, Thursday is Thanksgiving. Good question. I don't remember what we've done in the past. Any preferences? Maybe you guys can let me know in the Facebook group, and I'll make a final decision maybe tomorrow or Wednesday. So thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate that, Nicole. And I appreciate you. Thank you for helping us pull a greater load together on this call. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, David. This is Lori from Wenatchee.
All right. I heard David and Lori, I think.
Lori can go.
thanks so much, David. Hey, I just had a really quick thought. Until we started these calls, I actually thought I was rather weird because I would have these situations, just like we talked about, where whether I'd feel the urgency to call a friend because something was up and call and find out for sure something had happened, or maybe I just got an idea to get a hold of somebody and or an idea about something, and then it worked out really well. Things like that happening, I just thought it was rather weird. So it's really cool to know that that's not that it's a possibility, like Jesse said, and that. So this past year, I started kind of looking more at energy and studying that, and people that go to my church often give me a hard time about that if I bring it up. I'm very careful who I talk to about it. But I talked to a gal that was, I think she called herself an intuit, which means, you know, she just has strong intuition. She said we really all have intuition. And so like when we get that gut check, that it's a reality that we can go by that. But what she said, it was a question she posed that, would you rather be liquid or would you rather be brick? And by being liquid, she meant, you know, flowing, sensitive, you know, reading the ether is what I took it to mean as we read these books together. So anyway, that was just something I wanted to share, give you food for thought, and just love you guys on the call and appreciate all that everybody brings to this, the energy and everything, and just the edification that I feel just coming to the call. And thanks, Paul. Have a super day.
Music to our ears, Lori. Thank you for that. Great thought. And David, we got about 1 minute left.
I can make it quick. I love the everything everybody shared, where two or more are gathered. That's an amazing verse. It means a lot. It's also a cord, like a strand, I think, of rope. Has to do with, you know, a lot of people. I think that this topic is much like blessings, and that is, you know, the blessings are there already. So those thoughts and the connections are there too. We just have to be open. And I think if we're open, we're open then to obviously receive, just from the receiving stations of other people's minds. And, you know, the same works in good and bad, so as in everything else. So just, you know, pay attention to some of those things that might be popping into your head or people that you're around that might not have your best interest in mind. Otherwise, thanks, everybody. Lovely call. Appreciate it, Paul.
All right, guys. Hey, listen, I appreciate everyone for being here today. I want to give us all a call to action. That's, I think, something that we can focus on today to apply, start to apply anyway, what we're learning. If we want to attract to us the forces which harmonize with our own mind, one of the things that we can do is we can endeavor to harmonize more with the people around us, right? So our prospects, as we're interacting with our prospects, as we're interacting with our family, as we're interacting with team members, if we do our best to increase the level of harmony that is in those relationships. And there are things that we can do, aren't there things we can do to increase the level of harmony? It seems like, as part of this mastermind principle, if we increase the level of harmony in all of our relationships, increase the love, increase the patience, increase the harmony, and eliminate jealousy, envy, contention, angst, raising the voice, arguing, disagreeing, eliminate that and increase the other. It seems like if we can get that harmony up a level, up a notch, we can have better access to these ideas that we're going to require as we continue stepping forward into our future. So my call to action to myself and everyone on the call today is to keep this word in mind throughout today. Harmony. Keep that in mind. Harmony. In all of our human relationships, let's remember harmony today, and we're going to dig deeper into this principle and how we can further apply it in our businesses tomorrow. So come back tomorrow. I love you guys. Have an awesome day, and thanks for being here. Take care, and bye for now.
Never give up.
That is correct. It's for the directory. We'll be paying for the directory. Would you read that again, please?
Stay positive.
Freedom!
Never give up.
Never give up. Appreciate you guys.
Never give up.
Have a good week, everyone.
Are we your responsibilities? That's right.
I love you, family.
Hey, we love you right back.